The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with my co-host, husband, fellow realtor, Mr. Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm excited because we have a new topic today. With us is Andy Richards, co-owner of Mission Security Technologies. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we cover many real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click the Dunmore Corners Live webcam tab and you get a view of see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
Especially when the weather is turning and getting frightful at this time of year.
We get a couple of hundred hits a day on that webcam.
I check it out before I head out. In the winter months especially. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile friendly. Check us out on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Once again, we have Andy Richards, co-owner of Mission Security Technologies. Tell me a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how long you've been doing it, please.
I'm Andrew Richards. I'm co-owner of Mission Security Technologies in Dunmore. We're at Dunmore Corners at 111 West Drinker Street. You can get in touch with us at 570-456-8100. We are essentially a managed service provider, and they call it an MSP. If it deals with IT, we can help you out with it.
What's IT?
Information technology.
There you go.
Pretty much anything relates to, if it has a plug in it, we can help you probably.
Okay. So you do a lot of computer repair work.
Yep.
New computers.
New, used, upgrades, electronics repair. A lot of people around the area don't do that anymore, but we try most devices. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it does.
So bring it in. And you could pretty much tell what you can do, if you can do anything.
Yep.
If you got a virus, if you've been taken over by malicious software, you guys fix it.
Yep. If you're getting strange pop-ups, give us a call.
Okay.
Now, you do for just an average person, and you also do commercial businesses.
Yep. Commercial and residential.
Okay. Now, for our purposes, our discussion today, we're going to talk about all the things that we need to talk about that, you know, when I plug in my computer, turn it on, and I rely on a computer every day, many hours during the day, I am on my laptop or some sort of device doing something. All I want to do is turn it on. I want it to work in its intended fashion and be just not worry about anything else. But I'm... like most people, I suppose, I'm not thinking about all the other things and what I need to think about in terms of security, mm-hmm. how to be safe, and I'm inviting a lot of problems into my life when I'm not thinking about the things that you're here to talk about. So let's start with Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi has become very large and pretty much ubiquitous the last couple of years. In the initial point, Wi-Fi, the units you would buy were given out pretty much wide open. They're called like an open Wi-Fi. Only recently have they come secured by default. What we've gotten is a large install base, very similar to cell phones today, that the most of it is pretty much a wild, wild west. Whereas there's no security on it. The people who run it don't manage it. It's pretty much... in a lot of cases, in a lot of things, whereas you install it and then forget about it. Unfortunately, computers, like anything else, like a car example, they need to be maintained. pretty much with Wi-Fi, it becomes software updates. You need to keep on top of that for the device itself. And any of the changes in technology that might render that Wi-Fi, for example, insecure anymore and not fixable. In those cases, you just have to replace it.
Well, most people have Wi-Fi in their homes.
Most people have Wi-Fi in their homes either from buying a wireless router from Best Buy or such, or from their provider like Comcast.
Yeah, Comcast comes with them right in.
They're enabled by default.
So, you know, what do most people forget to do with these routers?
They buy them and they plug them in and forget about it forever from then on.
And they let the factory default passwords remain.
If there's any password on it, they leave it as is, yeah.
Okay.
Most of them, they used to come open, which means you plug it in, you can connect to it, you're connected. That's it. Really should have is putting some kind of encryption password on it. I would recommend even changing the wireless name from the default, because if you've got 12 in the same area you're in, all with the same name, how do you know which one's yours?
That's the truth, because when I hook up to the wireless at the house, I mean, we're in a neighborhood that's got Comcast and all
the same name.
All the wireless. I'm like, which one is mine?
Mm-hmm. That's also a vulnerability, whereas someone can, if you're in an area that has a specific name, you can name yours the same and trying to get them to connect to your network instead of your own.
Tricky.
Okay. Let's talk about what can happen on an open...
Mm-hmm. Like when I go to McDonald's and it says...
Or the airport.
Yes, come to... Oh, yeah, the airport. Yeah, I use that all the time. And then I do a little banking when I'm there. No, I don't. So that would be bad. So what could happen? Say I take my little smartphone and it says, boom, connect to McDonald's. And you say, yes, thank you very much. And I'm sitting there and I'm doing something. What could happen?
That falls into the open Wi-Fi thing, whereas 99% of those, they're open. They don't require any kind of password to get on. They just require you to usually accept their terms of service, for example. And once you're connected to it, anything you can, as long as there's no encryption, which it's open, they can see whatever you're doing. If you're not going to a website that's secure, which means it has the HTTPS in front of it, everything you go is what we call clear text. It's just plain, if you type hello on there, hello goes across the wire, essentially, and anyone can see it if they're looking. That also falls into the, if you don't know the name, especially at not hotels, but airports, they'll name it the same as the airport's Wi-Fi to try to get you connect to it. And then once you do, you're actually connected to someone's laptop or something there that's providing internet. And they'll sit there and capture all the traffic you do. So if you go on there and start, let's say, editing, you know, some blog post on your website and you log into it, and if it's not secured, they now have your password.
And then they can change the words in that blog to whatever they want it to read.
They can capture it and then go back later on and do whatever they want.
And if I go to my banking site, I'm going through their computer so they can see my username and my password.
9 times out of 10 with bank sites, is they're usually going to be secured. They call SSL secure. It's the encryption. If it has HTTPS in front of it, you're probably going to be okay. Not always, though, because what they can do is called a man-in-the-middle attack, whereas they'll feed you a false SSL certificate that makes it seem like you're actually getting the bank's certificate. But in fact, they're intercepting it and just giving you one that's fake.
And then, therefore, you're handing over all your information.
At that point, they can see, you think you're secured, and they're actually seeing it all.
Okay. Now, but what can happen? Let's bring it back to the home. We didn't, you know, change our default password or our name on our Wi-Fi, and we're open. Say we're open. We didn't lock it down. What can happen?
If you're open, pretty much I can connect to your network or anyone else that happens to drive past, spend a couple minutes maybe looking over your network and then see, okay, there's X amount of PCs on here. I can then start looking at, okay, is there any vulnerability that's going to let me into that? If I find something there, all right, now I'm in your PC. So then you can, any files you have on there, you can, depending on the level of access you get, you can sit there and watch them do exactly whatever they're doing on their computer and then either take it over when they're not around or pretty much do anything they would do.
This is disturbing. We heard a story over the weekend where someone, and I guess this gets you know, back to, you know, us being aware of our neighborhoods, who's there, who shouldn't be there. But there was a car parked outside someone we know house, and the person had a blanket over their head. Mm-hmm. And they were accessing someone's Wi-Fi and downloading
child porn.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that if they were going to come looking for the people who did it, what they would do is they would go to that guy's house who had the Wi-Fi connection. And that's where they would go and look, because they said that's where the address is.
Yep. Once you connect to someone's network and you can gain access to it, you appear to be coming from their internet address. Eventually, there's been many cases of that. It's either from, like you said, child porn, or maybe hacking some other websites and doing some kind of, you know, nefarious issues. Whereas
maybe sending a threat to the president.
Exactly.
Oh, that'd be great.
Eventually, they can only track it back to your wireless. If you leave it open, it's kind of, well, who are they going to believe? They'd have to find other evidence, obviously, but it's not something you want to have to deal with, because it usually drags out for quite some time for simply setting a password and not leaving it open.
A simple mistake.
Is it going to leave you? Is it going to be perfect? No, but you want to be the guy that isn't the low hanging fruit in the area.
Right. That's exactly what he said. He says, because sometimes people just drive around the neighborhood, and what they're doing is they're looking for the easiest network to get on.
Yep.
And like you said, you're not going to go for the guy with the high encryption. You're going to go for the open guy, the one you can just walk into.
There's even some, I mean, even if you have encryption that's, you know, vulnerable to issues, at least that's having something better than having nothing. Because they're going to go to the guy, all right, I don't have to spend any time. Let's just go on that, connect to that one.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so how do we secure ourselves? Like, should we do a two-step authentication? Is one step enough? What? And let's talk about passwords. What type of passwords should we be using? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
No, absolutely not.
3, 3, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7?
Yeah. Don't use the default that any device came with. Usually that's password or admin or something like that.
How about password with the capital P?
No. These days, depending on where people, like, for example, Yahoo has had a massive issue lately with people obtaining a lot of their records. If those records happen to include passwords, whether they're, you know, encrypted in certain ways or not, if they can get a list of that, they can then spend as much time as they want trying to break them, versus me having to connect to your website, you know, your bank website, for example, and trying to hack it that way, which usually there's some technology to slow you down. Like, you'll get 5 attempts maybe every a minute versus as many as you want every minute if you can do it locally.
Problems with passwords.
Mm-hmm. They're too easy.
And everybody's got technology. I mean, somebody might be thinking, says, oh, this doesn't apply to me. But like you said, if you've got that, now let's use, I have a family member who's elderly, and she's got Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got Wi-Fi in her house. She doesn't know it because she doesn't use any of those devices. But I know it because I've used it in her house.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people think this might, oh, I don't have any of this stuff. But how many of the devices do you have? I mean, my phone is Wi-Fi. There's so many things. I got a camera that's Wi-Fi. I mean, a Nikon that I bought that I can just think hook up to the network, mm-hmm, and start doing pictures. So this pretty much applies to everybody.
Yeah. It's not just only Wi-Fi. It's any kind of network-connected device, really. Like, for example, you'd think, oh, my TV. What is that? What kind of problem do I have there? Well, a lot of them are created specific use devices, such as TVs, DVD players, let's say your refrigerator or even your washer these days. Some of them are Wi-Fi compatible. They're designed to do a specific function and that's it. Usually that means they never upgrade the software or very infrequently. So they're built to a cost, so they're not really built with security in mind. This past weekend, for example, there was a massive attack on the East Coast to, I believe, a DNS provider, DYN, whereas they believe most of it came from devices such as this. They're essentially, they call it a botnet. Whereas it's these small devices, cameras, whatever, but there's so many of them that they can make a big impact against a single site on the website and the internet.
So what they do is, how do they work that? They have them all go to the same place at the same time and it just kind of,
exactly,
overwhelms
them? There's usually a channel that they can control them with. Usually it's encrypted or such. A lot of these are done on internet relay chat, they call it IRC. They'll issue a command and they'll all start sending traffic to the certain site or doing a certain function. Like, for example, a web, like a bank website. they can issue them to all to connect to it and just keep trying to connect over and over and over. Individually, it's nothing. It's fractions of, you know, a bandwidth that they might have. But in combine them all, you've got a massive weapon.
200,000 or 300,000. It's
you've got a significant force behind you to attack and take down pretty much anyone.
Lovely.
Attacks
lovely.
Only,
lovely. I mean, now I have to worry about my washing machine.
They've only gotten bigger over the past years. I mean, it's getting to the point where they've actually talked about it over, you know, exceeding the ability for like certain internet backbones that handle the traffic to actually withstand it. Usually it was never a big issue for the main guys who handle the main fiber backbones across the internet. But now it's actually approaching the point where they're seeing the impact on their network.
Overwhelming. Oh, boy. Okay, we're going to head towards a break. Before we go, we have Andy Richards, co-owner of Mission Security Technologies. They're located in Dunmore. They provide IT services for residential and commercial businesses. May I have your contact info, please?
Sure, it is. You can reach us by phone at 570-456-8100, or you can get more information for us by emailing us at info@missionsec.com.
Thank you, Andy. Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful three-bedroom, three-bath home at 103 Watrous Drive in the East Mountain section of Scranton for $159,000. This home sits on a 100-foot-wide lot. It has a two-car garage, a rear porch, and a patio area. Inside this home, you'll find an updated kitchen, hardwood floors, central air conditioning, vaulted ceilings, all of this tucked away in the perfect neighborhood. The lower level of this home has a wet bar, a large family room, and that family room leads to the patio area through the sliding glass doors. That's a beautiful three-bedroom, three-bath home with a two-car garage at 103 Watrous Drive in Scranton for $159,000. And that's listed by Dan Taylor of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I have some statistics. Yay, it's your lucky day.
My favorite part of the show.
Greater Scranton Board of Realtors multi-list statistics for the last 30 days for single-family homes. How do people pay for them? 31% brought cash to the closing table. They did not use financing or a bank. They brought cash, 31%. 36% went with a conventional loan. That's a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac mortgage. They 36% purchased a home with a conventional loan. 21% used FHA. That's a Federal Housing Administration type of mortgage. And 5.7% used a VA. That's a Veterans Administration type of mortgage. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be right back. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Reddy from Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jreddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Reddy, broker, in with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
How are you today?
Great. How are you?
I'm a little uneasy after listening that my washing machine could be taken over and going after a denial of service.
We have with us Andy Richards, co-owner of Mission Security Technologies. Hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us. We're having a fascinating discussion. you know, technology is great, and all I want to know some days is that it works, and then everything, I had a great day, but, you know, you're making me think about things that I really should be thinking about. Right before the break, we were talking about all the smart appliances, lights, thermostats, door locks, baby monitors, and even cars are going this way, but they're not being manufactured or made with security in mind. In fact, it's non-existent.
Yes, I mean, they're designed to a certain price point and designed to do one job. Like, for example, a thermostat. Can it set your temperature? Yes or no? If it can, great. Ship it.
And this is what people want. They want everything to be able to be done through their phones. They want the baby be able to connect to their baby at home through their cell phone or the thermostat or their lights or even unlock their doors before they get to their back door. But what can happen?
Essentially, if most of these devices, they're designed to do a job, but security is kind of an afterthought.
It's lacking.
Yes, lacking in most cases. Whereas you can go then, if I can get into it from whatever method, scanning it across the internet, you know, maybe finding some cloud service that these things are connecting to and finding a breach point there, whatever that device can do, then someone else can do.
They don't even have to be in the same country.
Not at all.
Okay.
If you have, let's say you have a DVR system with your cameras that's connected to the internet at your house or your business. If you've done no changes to it or taken no steps to protect it, chances are there probably is a security issue in that that may be found someday. Might be easy to find, might not be. If someone does find it, however, now I can see what's going on in your house or inside your business, for example. Depending on the information you provide on those cameras, I might be able to tell where you're at. If I can tell where you're at, I can tell that you're not there anymore, and now is a good time to break in.
You provide IT services for residential and commercial businesses. You have been doing this for quite some time. You are the IT expert, and we should be, when we have these devices, we should be making sure we secure them with passwords that not everybody would be able to figure out.
Yeah, don't use the common passwords, password, admin, you know, just 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, now, we have all these devices and all these things that we have to remember our passwords for. It gets a little confusing, and a lot of times I don't remember different passwords for different things. So I like to use the same password over and over. Is that suggested?
Not at all.
Okay.
The biggest issue with that is it only takes one of those sites to be compromised and someone to reverse your password depending on how it's stored. And now I have multiple sites I need to worry about changing passwords on or maybe getting breached. If you use the same password for your bank as you do your Yahoo email, for example, you now have a problem.
What should we do?
What you should do is come up with a one password that you really like. Something that's not simple like password or admin. And remember that one. What you can do then is they have software called password trackers. Some of them are cloud-based, some of them are not, like 1Password or LastPass. They can then remember and generate passwords for every site you go to. So if, say if I go to Google and Yahoo, I can create a separate unique password for every single one of those. And then I only need to remember one to gain access to those passwords to then use them on those sites.
Now I'm very insecure. Thank you very much. I'm worried about a lot of things that I wasn't worried about before.
It's kind of like the old, you know, don't use your password for your luggage as being like 1, 2, 3, because that's what it comes set as.
Oh, boy.
But these people, these hackers, and this is all they do. I mean, it's a little bit more than breaking into my luggage and getting my swimsuit out.
Out your bank account.
Yeah, cleaning out my bank accounts. You know, we don't use a baby monitor anymore, but, you know, people do. And so they're getting into our houses and they could change the heat. They could change it to 100 degrees. They could turn it off.
Yep. In a lot of cases, like say you have a sump pump, maybe that's for some reason connected to the internet. For control purposes or whatnot, I can. If you someone gets into it, you can say, "All right, just shut it off." And then the next time your basement floods, it just floods. It doesn't turn on.
Okay, so all right, it seems that we're going to a Wi-Fi world.
Everything is connected,
and so we all think we should be everywhere Wi-Fi'd, right?
Yeah, everything. Everybody wants to be wireless because they want to do everything from their phones anymore.
Okay, but your advice is to,
if you can stay wired, for example, using your PC on like a wired connection versus a wireless, do it.
Why?
Benefits would be typically faster speeds, and it's going to be way more secure.
I like the way you described it. We talked about this during the break. It's like the old technology of being on the radio, where you key the mic and you speak, then you have to let go of that, and then he speaks. So when you're on the wireless, you're not sending and receiving data at the same time?
Yep. Yeah, a lot of it's half duplex, I call it, versus full duplex. Full duplex would be both of us talking at the same time, whereas half duplex is exactly what you described. It's a slower method of communication. Now, maybe it won't matter for most people. They won't need the extra speed. Some people do, however, and they try to get that last little bit out of it, whereas wireless is definitely not the place to go for that.
Okay, before you mention the cloud, what do we need to think about? Because everything is going
really
to
on the
cloud.
Everything. What is a cloud?
The cloud is, that's a good question. There really is no single definition for what the cloud is. Most people think it's, if it's in the internet, in the cloud, it's always available. There's no central point for storage, for example. That's not necessarily true. Some clouds I've dealt with in the past might reside in one location only, even though it's being advertised as a cloud. If something happened in that one area and
it's gone.
Disabled those servers, it's gone. Unless there's some kind of backup, it's gone. Versus something like Amazon, which we think is more of a real cloud where it has distinct services in multiple locations around the world. If one goes down, it's okay because they can just switch over to the next.
Yeah, because we have the cloud on the iPhones. We actually pay like 99 cents a month extra so I can keep 8,000 pictures on it. But so yeah. That should be okay.
Yeah, everyone's cloud definition is different. That's the problem. There just is no unifying term when you say cloud. You really have to look at exactly what you're getting.
Because you might think there's your data secure or you're going to have it, but not so.
Yeah.
Listening to what you just said.
Yep. Once it goes out into the cloud, you really have no control over it after that. They may give you certain security features, such as, I think, I'm protected by a password. I'm protected by some kind of encryption. But you're not actually sure what they're doing with it. Is there some vulnerability that makes it easier for them to manage it that you're not aware of? You don't know.
Sure, you know what you're getting there. You know, I used to think that keep it simple was like a really good motto to live by. Keep it simple. Try to keep everything simple. Keep my password simple. I can remember it. But when it's regarding this conversation, make it more complicated.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go crazy, but don't make things too simple. Don't use like your birth date as your password. Don't use your part of your name or anything. When you make a login on a website, don't use your username as part of the password at all.
And this is advice from an IT expert, Andy Richards, co-owner of Mission Security Technologies. You're located in Dunmore. You provide residential and commercial IT services. And what's your contact information, please?
You can reach us at 570-456-8100, or you can email us at info@missionsec.com.
Okay. Would you come back next week so we can talk more about these topics, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Andy. Pat?
Yes, we have a lovely townhouse at 1B Rachel Drive in Archibald. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home for only $139,000. This home feels as if it was built yesterday. It is fully updated with Brazilian cherry hardwood floors, remodeled kitchens and baths. It has a 1-car garage with plenty of off-street parking, and it also has a beautiful wraparound deck, which is perfect for entertaining or relaxing. This home is fully insulated, and it has a beautiful 4-season sunroom. That's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath townhouse with a 1-car garage at 1B Rachel Drive in Archibald for only $139,000, and that's listed by Dan Taylor of our office.
Thank you, Pat. We all know there are many reasons why people sell a home. And Realtor.com just sought out potential home sellers and asked them why they're selling. What do you think the number one reason to sell is?
Change a job.
42% of the respondents said they want a different neighborhood. That's
really
the top reason to sell. 21% said they wanted a bigger home. Also, 21% needed a home with different features. Meanwhile, 19% said they wanted a smaller home. Also, 19% reported they wanted a new location with better views, different climate or weather or lifestyle. Another 19% said they were looking to lower their cost of living, and 15% say they were planning to retire or just had retired. So sellers have many reasons to put their homes for sale, but the number one reason, 42% said they wanted a different neighborhood. I want to wish everybody who's listening here today a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.